talk to other people and I tell them what I'm doing, where I'm going, and what I'm up to, it all has to do with Christ. And if you're not in the position to understand what it is that Christ does for you, then you think that all of this is foolishness. See, to the world, what we do is foolishness. But to those like us that are in Christ, we realize that we have a mission, that we have things that we have to accomplish while we are in season. Amen? While we are in season, because there's going to be a time that we are not going to be in season. And everything and the only thing that we do for Christ will last. What we do for Christ will last. You know what you do for me? Tomorrow I'm going to forget it. And you'll be saying, don't you remember that I gave you $2? Don't you remember I brought you breakfast? I'm going to forget that. But Christ never, ever forgets what it is that you do. And I have to say that because people think that what I do, you do too much. I do too much. I do whatever God has given me the ability to do. Amen? If it's to run, I'm going to run. If it's to jump, I'm going to jump. You know, I've been told that I do too much, but I'm telling you today that I'm not going to stop. Amen? I'm not going to stop because when I can't, I'm going to know that I did all that I could while I could. Amen? When we see Sister May sitting up here and she's walking with that cane, when she could, she did. Amen? When you see Sister Foreman with all of these things going on, you know when she could, she did. So don't sit around and know that you can and you don't. And I don't know who that's for. But if you know that you can do what you can while you can. Amen? Amen? Because there's going to be a day where you can't. I look at my mother and I know that she did all that she could while she could. There's people I still meet today, and when we went on the bus trip, this lady pastor said to me, who was the pastor there before? She was a lady. I said, you mean my mother? She said, yeah. She said, you know, she could go. Now, I know what she meant when she said she could go. But you know what? Dorothy May Grace can't go right now. But see, when she could, she did. And see, that's all that I need to hear, is that when she could, she did. Amen? Don't lose what it is that God has gifted you with because you don't want to go because somebody else has done something to you or said something to you. Amen? I looked at the program this morning, and it said, make straight a highway for our God. And it goes right along with everything that I was getting ready to talk about this morning. So before I started, I mean, I already got the message, but then I said, let me look and see what Isaiah 40 and 3 and 4 says. And it says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now that's in the Old Testament in Isaiah. And here I am getting ready to preach from John, the first chapter, talking about the coming of the Word. Amen? Because John is telling us in the Old Testament that the Messiah is getting ready to come. And not only that there shall be one before him who shall make way, make the path straight for him. Amen? I tried to figure out, well, what is it that the Lord wanted me to talk about? And I, I always hear this word, the Advent, and people use the Advent. And I realized I needed to do a little studying about the Advent, because when I was coming up, nobody said Advent. They said Christmas, but the world and everybody else was talking about the Advent. And so I figured I'm going to talk about the Advent today. So we'll know when somebody says the Advent, we can ask them, do they really know what they're talking about? Because the Advent is the end of, between the end of November and the first Sunday in December. That's when it starts. And this Advent goes for four Sundays. And it goes right before the birth of Christ. Amen? And the Advent is a level of expectation of the coming of something. So after Thanksgiving, we have an Advent because we have an expectation of the coming of something. Some people think the coming of that something is Christmas. But we understand that the coming of that something is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And truly, the Advent is broken up into different parts. The first two Sundays is working towards the expectation of his natural birth coming. And the last two is about the second coming. Amen? So we are more concerned about the second coming because he already came the first time. Amen? When you look at what's going to happen over the next 4 weeks, people are going to be reading scriptures like Isaiah in the Old Testament talking about the expectations of the Messiah coming. And we are going to talk about the New Testament, about the announcement of his birth. They asked John the Baptist, who are you? Because they wanted to know who he was. And they wanted to know if he was the Messiah. And he told them that he's not. He says that the one that is coming, he's not even worthy to carry his shoes. Amen? So the Bible in John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 16 through 18, actually, talks about the coming of the Word. Now, I want to know, have you ever really thought about the power of a word? You can say a word, just one word to somebody, and you can bring a smile to their face. You can say one word to somebody, and you can bring a tear to their eyes. You see, one word can have consequences over the whole lifetime of a person. Has anybody ever called you a word or said a one word to you, and you still remember it to this day? Just one word. If somebody in your formative years called you stupid, sometimes that kind of hangs on for a long time. If somebody called you ugly or pretty, it hangs on for a long time, just that one word. It hurts, and sometimes it grows you. Sometimes we take that one word and we develop a whole personality over what one somebody said to us. Just one word. You can build a person up, or you can destroy a person with one word. One word is a powerful thing, but I'm here to tell you this morning that there is something more powerful than a word. More powerful than a word is the word. Today, we're going to look at the most powerful word of all, the word in John chapter 1. It reads like this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. While the focus of this dialogue is on God in relationship to mankind, rather than God in relationship to himself. The first two verses that I just read talks about the intratriennial description that we have. Because God is not just talking about the word in relationship to you and I, but he's talking about the relationship with himself. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 3, it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just need to stop right there for a second. Because in him, light. In the Word was the light. And the darkness has not overcome it. So in all the time that the Messiah came down as the light of the world, he was never overcome by darkness. Never, ever. Even when he hung on the cross, he wasn't overcome by darkness. Even when he was in the grave, he was not overcome by darkness. So when we hear a song that says, I never lost my praise, we have to know that no matter what darkness you're in, the darkness can never overcome you as long as you're in Christ. The scripture further says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, I just wanted to emphasize right there that he was sent from God, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that which was to come. Concerning the light that was to come so that all could believe. And he said, I am not the light. He knew he wasn't the light. He had to be sent by God. He had to be ordained by God, because just as soon as we get something, whether it's a title or some assignment sometimes, we think that we become it. But he said, I am not it. I am not the prophet. I am not the Messiah. But I came to testify. I came to witness that there is one coming. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. But his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. We can't determine who can become a child of God. He said, whosoever will believeth in me. And in this scripture, he's saying, John is writing that children that are born of God are not children born of a natural circumstance. Amen? They are not born because of human decision or a husband's will. And that's important for us to understand, because as we have our own children, as we have husbands and we have wives, you can't make them children of God. They have to become of their own will. Amen? So if somebody that you love, somebody that you birthed, somebody who was born because of you, somebody that you raised, if they choose not to become children of God, don't get disappointed. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God's will and that person's will to follow God. The scripture says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Now, when you look at the natural circumstances of things, John was born before Jesus. But John is saying he was born before me. So how could somebody be born before you if you were born before them? My son can't be born before me because I was born before him. But that's natural. In the spiritual world, in the realm in which God does whatever he wants to do, how creates and orchestrates things in his own will, you have a person who says in the natural that he was born before me. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everybody else looking at John is looking at him like he's talking out of the left side of his head. How could he be born before you if you're older than him? That's because he says, out of the fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law which was given through Moses, grace and truth, came through Jesus Christ. For no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself of God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. There is nobody closer to God than God himself. There's nobody closer to you than you, to yourself. So God, through Jesus, is himself. Jesus is God. So what does all of this have to do with this time of the year? And who is the Word? You see, we use words to communicate. In other words, if I want to communicate with you, I have to use words to speak to you. I am using words right now in this sermon to communicate to you. Without words, I'd be standing up here doing like this. And you wouldn't understand what I'm saying. There would be no communication. Without words, my wife couldn't tell me what to do. Thank God she's out of here. And even sometimes with words, it still seems like Charlie Brown to me. Wah, 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 wah. But the fact of the matter is, without words, we can't communicate with one another. Without words, I can't say, "Okay, yes, dear." Words are used to express what we have in our hearts. The words, "I love you," express feelings and emotions that we hold deep. We have trouble when we don't speak the same words as somebody else. Words are the backbone of communication, and words enable us to communicate to other people. We don't know people, and we come to know people through their words. How many times have you said, "I was all right with that person until they opened their mouth"? Because those words let you know that you really didn't want to be bothered with them any longer. Amen? The words others give us or tell us are an indication of who they really are to us. I tell my wife all the time, I listen when people talk to me. I want to hear the words that they're using. I want to hear the words that they're saying. And sometimes somebody will say something to you, And the words that they are using will give you an indication of what they really mean. God communicates to us through words. I hold in my hand right now what we call the Word of God. We call it the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. But in it are recorded the spoken words by God through us. We can read it, we can hear it, and God speaks to us through these pages. But God made the clearest communication with us through the Word. God did more than just give us words. He gave us the Word. In the beginning was the Word. He communicated with us in the clearest way that he could. He communicated by using himself and showing himself. He has shown himself through us living the Word and living the communication of himself. When we want to demonstrate something to somebody and they don't quite get exactly what it is that we want them to understand, we say, well, let me show you, right? We tell our children, I'll show you how to do it. I'll show you what I mean. Because you have spoken to them with words and they just don't get it. And we turn around and we demonstrate it to them. Well, when God sent the Word down here and the Word became flesh, he said, let me show you how to do it. That's what happened when the Word became flesh. Because God says, I have sent prophets. I have sent kings. Israel asked for a king. He sent the king. Israel asked for prophets. He sent prophets. Israel asked to be delivered. He delivered them. What more could he have done? He said, well, I got to do it myself. So then the Word became flesh. This Word was present at the beginning. When Genesis, when it came around, it says, let us. It don't say that God said, I decided. He said, let us make man in our own image. So us is plural. There is more than one. We hear from God mostly through the word of Jesus Christ. We only know God because of Jesus Christ, because the word of God is Jesus Christ. And the word was present at the beginning. At the beginning was the beginning point for everything that there has ever been, as far as we know. Before Genesis 1 and 1, there was no created thing in existence, because nothing had been created yet. When I read that and I thought about that, I said, here is the only deity, the only thing that we will ever know, who looked at nothing and made something. No, let me change that. He didn't make it. He created it. Here is the one deity that looked at nothing and created something out of nothing. And I said, oh my God. I said, because you know what? We're nothing. But he took us out of where we were and he created something out of nothing. Because we go in situations and people call us nothing. They call us all kind of names. But regardless of what they did and what they called us, he saw something out of this nothing and made something. So in the beginning, at the point, the word Jesus Christ was already there. So Jesus and God, they saw nothing. When we were going through everything that we went through, and man just kept failing and failing and failing and failing again. Out of what God created, Jesus still saw something in us. If he saw nothing in us, there was no need to come down. There was no need for him to become flesh. There was no need for him to die on the cross. There was no need for him to rise the third day. There was no need for him to go through all the foolishness that he had to go through in order to prove to us who he was. We get tired when we got to continuously prove ourselves to other people, don't we? That's okay. I know we do. Everybody ain't got the patience of Job sitting in this church. And I include myself in that. But we lose our patience very quickly. Jesus is the most patient person that ever walked this earth. Look at your situation right now. He's being patient with you right now. He woke you up this morning. He's being patient with you. He woke me up this morning. He's being patient with me. Because there's a very impatient person that is standing before the courts right now, the courts of heaven, saying, take him now, look at him. I told you there'd never be nothing. I told you they'd never repent. I told you they're going to keep sinning. And then there's another person in the court holding on to the Father, sitting at the right hand saying, give him another chance, Father. Jesus was there when the beginning took place. Jesus existed before creation, so he could not have been created. He was already there, and he always had been there. He was with God. Jesus Christ was there before the creation, and Jesus was there with God. The Trinity of the Godhead is not always a clear theological idea. When you tell people about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they think that you lost your mind. Hallelujah. When they realize that there is something inside of you that takes you through the adversity that you have to go through, they understand that it is the Holy Spirit. Because when they say, I don't understand how you can go through what it is that you've gone through, it is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of you that comforts you when all chaos is going on all around you. That places you in the center of the storm while everything is swirling around. That gives you the words to say when you're standing before people who are waiting to convict you on the words that you speak. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody is waiting for you to say something to condemn yourself, but the Spirit gave you the words to speak?
Yes.
And that judge or that lawyer, that supervisor, whoever it is dumbfounded, because where they thought that they had you in a trap, you're scot-free out of it. The scriptures that we read reveal something about the Trinity. It reveals that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. The language that was used in the original text meant that Jesus, when he says the word, it meant that Jesus Christ was face to face with God. It also gives us a view that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equal. When we understand that in the Trinity, in the Godhead, that there's no big I's and little U's. When he breaks down what it is that we do in church, there's no big I's and little U's. It's just that God had something that he had to do. Jesus Christ had something that he had to do. And the Holy Spirit has something that they have to do. And they don't cross all over each other. They work on their assignment. John the Baptist understood this. That's why God sent him. God didn't send Paul. He sent John the Baptist to create and open up the wilderness for Jesus. God is perfect in all the communication and everything that he does. This is where we find the message of this season that we're in right now. You see, this season is more than families getting together and eating. This season is more than Christmas cantatas and Christmas program. This season is about the Word becoming flesh. We get caught up with the bright lights and the songs and the this and the that and the dressing up and the gift giving. But this is about the Word. This is about Jesus Christ. This is about God manifesting himself in human form. This is about the Savior coming down to save a lost world. God did this because he wanted to know that he still walks among his creation. You see, in the beginning when Adam and Eve, God came down to the Garden of Eden, and he came and he was walking. And he wanted to know, Adam, where are you? Because he wanted Adam and Eve to know his presence. He wanted them to know that I am here. He wanted them to have fellowship with him. Jesus Christ came down here because to have fellowship with us, to walk among us, so we'll know that he has still never left us nor forsake us. And when he left, he sent the Comforter that will never leave you nor forsake you, that will be inside you. And it's not for all to see. It's for those who know that are know. Those who know, know. Those who know, know. And if you don't know, you don't know. Those that know don't have to ask you questions. Those that don't know, they're asking you all kinds of questions because they don't understand. And even when you try to explain it to them, it's all foolishness. God is not unfamiliar with the things that we go through. It said that God came down and tabernacled with us. You said, what does that mean, tabernacled? Well, you know, you put a tabernacle up and you take it down. So it can move. So when God is tabernacled with us, that means as we move, he moves. You don't move and he ain't with you. You can go to another country, another state. He'll pack up and go with you. He's tabernacled with you. He puts down his tent and he goes. Because he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. God can move with us. Amen? But you can't go. And you cannot go where God isn't. David said, where can I go? If I go down to the valley, you're there. If I go to the hill, you're there. You can't go without him. Ain't that like a love? Have you ever had a love that said, I ain't leaving you? You could do all the things that you want, but I'm still going to be there. You ever have a man that says, I love you, you're never going to get rid of me? Have you ever had a woman that says, I love you, and you're never going to get rid of me? Those things happen. They say it, but you get rid of them. By hook or crook, you find something to do. But when God is with you, and he says, you're never going to get rid of me. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. You can't shake him. You can't get rid of his love. No matter what you do, he still loves you.
Yes. My God. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Oh, hallelujah.
loves you so much that he stepped off of where he was on the throne. He stepped off. He didn't just come to America. He came to you. He didn't just come to Jamaica. He came to you. Wherever you are. He didn't just come from Africa. He came to you. He didn't just come from China. He came for you. So no matter where you go, he's with you. God is not unfamiliar with the struggles that we have in this life. He knows exactly what it's like. You know why? Because he's been here. He's lived it. He's walked it. You can never say to God, you don't know the trouble I see. We like to say that, well, you really don't know because you ain't been through what I've been through. You say, no, Pastor, you really don't understand. No, I don't, but I know somebody who does. I'm not here to say I understand what you went through. I tell you, I know who does understand. I cannot solve your problems, but I know somebody who can. You can have an ache or pain somewhere that I don't, so I don't understand it. But he does. Hallelujah. No matter what that cross is you're bearing, he bared that cross too. No matter what inadequacy you're feeling, he felt that too. No matter how insignificant people try to make you feel, he heard that too. But he knew who he was. I want you to know today who you are. You are important. You're so important, he died on the cross. Let no man put you under.
Yes, come on, teacher, Hey.
If you ever wanted to know what God looks like, what God must act like, look at Jesus. God's ways and his actions are not a mystery. We like to say, oh, God is a mystery. We don't. Yes, you do know who he is. Because Jesus Christ in all his actions is God. He loved when they hated him. He loved when they fought him. He loved when they spit at him. He loved when they cursed him. He loved when they killed him. That's what God is like. Because we curse God. We spit at him. We talk about him. We rebuke him. And he still loves us. So don't tell me, I don't know what God is like. He is what Jesus Christ is. When we read about Jesus Christ, we're reading about God. When we wonder how God feels the pain and suffering in the world, look at what his son went through. Have you ever felt what your children went through or felt as if you felt it? You felt as if, I wish it was me instead of my child. Because you love him so much. How do you think God felt when he saw his son going through all of those things that he went through? He had to feel what his son felt. He must have been pretty upset when he saw those things going on. But it's not like he didn't know those things were going to happen. Because we can know things are going to happen. But when we go through it, we wish that we hadn't gone through it. We wish we had said that we would go through it. We wish we didn't have to feel that pain. Pretty quiet in here. It's okay. But you know what? When you're going to have that baby, before you had that baby, you know you're going to go through something. And I feel for you. But I can never feel it. Thank God. But there are times you go through that pain. You wish you didn't have to go through that pain. Every time my wife, except for once, went through that pain, I was there. And it's no matter how sympathetic I felt, I was still praising the Lord. But I know that God can feel the pain she's going through. I know that another woman that might have had a baby can understand what it was that she was going through. But there's a world of half of people that will never ever understand what she went through. Call men. So when we read about the things that God feels about us, we know through his son he feels it all. We know about God and we can know God by coming to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has shown us God because he is God. And if we receive Jesus Christ, we receive God. And God wants us to be his children. And he wants us to have that relationship with him. I believe that we always could have had that relationship with him if we didn't mess up. But because we messed up, we have to go through another way. And that way is Jesus. So God did kind of lose his patience and said, you can't come to me straight. You got to come through my son. You got to come through Jesus Christ. So in this season that we're going through, this Advent, let us always remember that the celebration is because of the birth, and the celebration is also because he is coming back again. He did it once. Can he do it again? Amen. God is going to do it again. Hallelujah. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. In the book of John, it says that John bare witness of him and crying, saying, he is the one I spoke of. Well, today, Jesus Christ is the one that I'm speaking of. Jesus Christ is the communication that we have. Jesus Christ is the word. If we want to be able to speak to God, we have to use that vehicle, the word, Jesus Christ. Let us stand this morning.